going forward. Through the history of our world, we hear in every part of life about vision. We talk about people with vision. Henry Ford had a vision. The Wright brothers had a vision. Jesus had a vision. All these people were able to bring their visions forward. Jason spoke about, very good for me this morning, so I can talk about it, spoke about you being able to visualize, to see in your mind the gates to heaven, or heaven with a door. You have to be able to see in order to go forward. You have to have a vision in order to move along through your life. Vision literally means the ability to see things that are visible, if you didn't know. The American Heritage Dictionary also says that it's used to mean unusual competence or discernment in perception, intelligent foresight. In other words, you have the ability to see that which isn't seen. Now, as Christians, we should have that ability, shouldn't we? We should be able to see what isn't seen. As a servant of the Lord, we are to have an elevated vision. I spoke about Jesus. Jesus had a fantastic vision, didn't he? He knew what he was here to do. He knew his job. He knew his task that he was appointed by the Heavenly Father, and that was to come down and absorb our sins, to save as many souls as he could save. That's an elevated vision. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Are your visions enough? When you picture yourself in church as a Christian, are your visions enough? Do you esteem high enough? I think the real problem that a lot of times we fall into is our visions are too short-sighted, too small. I'm going to be at church Sunday. Good. We want you there. I want to be there. We are too vague. We say that we'll bring as many... My hope is to bring as many of my friends to church as possible, to Christ as possible. Okay, the only problem with that is that I didn't give any numbers, did I? I didn't really set anything. I just said what I'd like to do. See, a vision isn't just saying what you'd like to do. A vision is seeing something that you can put your arms around and grab. To have unusual competence or discernment. To be able to see what isn't there. The problem is when you set a small vision for yourself, you've set up far less than you could probably do. I had a vision when I was 10 years old that I would dunk a basketball. That has never happened on a 10-foot rim. I have dunked a basketball, but on a far shorter scale than what I thought I would. But it was a vision that I accomplished. Many of you smile. You see that vision of me trying to dunk on a 10-foot rim, which probably is really funny. I would laugh if I saw me do it today. We fail to set our sights high enough. We fail to set our vision on heaven, on where we need to be. If we're looking forward, or if we're looking forward into our lives, we aren't here to look forward into the first row. We're here to look forward into the balcony. And I always describe heaven as going up because that's how I feel. I feel that we will go to heaven. And when my eyes look up, that's what I see is heaven. When we fail to set our sights high enough, a lot of times because our faith is a little bit weak, isn't it? It's hard to say, "I'm going to," and then have to go out and do it. Especially when you pronounce it in public. I'm going to, because the possibility is that the first time you might fail. It might not go right. That doesn't mean the vision is bad. That just means you haven't figured out how to do it. Sometimes we listen to too many people around us. We believe in the opinions of the world instead of having our faith on God. Now, I truly believe that if you have God in your life and you have that faith, that He will give you that power to achieve and to find Him if you truly seek Him. I don't think our Lord in heaven will ever make me rich. I don't stand up here with that as even a vision. Who cares? I'm not monetarily rich. You know, I have a family that I love, that I'm able to see each day, that I'm able to rise with and talk to. I have a church that I can attend freely. Am I rich? I am in those senses. I'll never be physically wealthy. I could care less. The money that is there before me, it matters very little. I mean, it is truly about the sense of well-being I have when I get up to rise physically. We defeat ourselves, do we not? Salespeople have what we call cold calls, which means you walk into a place where nobody knows you, you introduce yourself, and hopefully in the first 2 minutes you can talk them into listening to you for another 2 minutes, that you can at least give them something. Those of you that have had to experience food salesmen, I am sorry for you. Because we are a pain and there are a lot of us. But that is still the goal. The easiest thing as a salesperson, we have a list that we always start out. It's a list of calls, A to Z, that we're going to do today. I will tell you that day one, you make almost all those calls. Day two, maybe you drive by some of the afternoon calls because, they're not there anyway. Day three, you get up a little bit later because, you know, people don't like to really see anybody before 9. I'm going in then. Day four, I got all my stuff. I just can't make a call today. At day five, I'm going to stay home because this has been a lousy week. I'm not going out. Now, that's defeatism. All right, you slowly talk yourself into believing that you're not going to be able to do it. It's no different than walking across the street. If you say you're going to walk across the street, walk across the street. If you say you're going to stop, stop. Is it always easy? No. No. Physical impairments may stop you from getting across the street. My son now is on crutches while his leg heals. And he will tell you that walking on the crutches, while his father might laugh at him a little bit as he tries to do it, is harder than just walking across the street. That slows you down. So does he always walk across the street? Well, first he'd ask me to go get whatever he wants right now, or his mother. Then, when we say no, he walks across the street. It's a simple process, but it's a hard process, and we talk ourselves into it. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. And for though you have little strength and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. We need to be able to have a plan in front of us, don't we? Christ set up that plan when He gave us the Bible. He gave us something to follow. If I look to you and I say that I'm hoping to bring people to church with me. In fact, I'm hoping to increase the size of the people sitting in my bench double. The only way that I can get people to church is to ask someone. Invite them to come. And maybe, at the end of it all, someone will be attending with me. But you have to invite. You can't just let it go. It has to be an open invitation, doesn't it, to come. I hear my son invite his friends. I hear him, you know, I've invited the guys I work with. I don't know how many times. We've yet to see any of them. But I'm still in hopes that they'll show. You know, for me, it's an open invitation that's offered weekly, but to come. If they'd like to be here, we want them to come. You need to be welcoming. You need to be a positive person. People want to be around someone that's happy, that is positive. Things don't always go great. Sometimes you have physical ailments. Sometimes you have problems that hold you back. But people want to see you smile. And it's much easier to be someone you see around you that's smiling than the poor person sitting in a seat by themselves with a frown, staring at the floor all alone. And that's where a lot of times you see people with a frown, sitting all alone by themselves in a corner. Those are the people you reach out to. Okay, that's when we have a chance. Somebody that's alone that needs that help, somebody that needs that encouragement, reach out and stick your hands in there. That's an action step. That's taking care of it. That's having a vision to bring those people to you. All right, those are the people that really need help. Sometimes someone with a positive smile needs help too. And it doesn't hurt to say something to them when you see them. A welcoming smile. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We need to have a great deal of faith to be Christians and to have a vision. And if your vision is on heaven, you have a great deal of faith. Because we don't see heaven. We don't see heaven physically here. I have not seen the face of Christ in my birth. I've seen images of Christ, but I've not truly seen the face of Christ. I hope to. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, Jew then Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We need to be bold when we go out. It is no crime to be a Christian in the United States. We can be very proud of who we are. It doesn't mean we have to hide. We are very self-conscious sometimes to put ourselves out there in a group because it's hard. It's a hard thing to stand in front of people that are living within the world, whether they're your friends or not, and tell them you're a Christian and you're not going to go. You're not going to partake in what they're doing. It's a hard thing. It's difficult. It's a long ways past tough. And it takes a very strong faith to be able to do that. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Say it, believe it, trust in it, and pray for courage. That's what we can do as Christians. We have that ability. I talk about prayer a lot. I believe a lot in prayer and the power of prayer. I believe in saying it out loud. Now, whether you say it out loud to yourself first and then you make it public, that's okay. Every great speech has been rehearsed. Everyone has gone through it. If you give a presentation, you don't do it just once. Do it many times before you do it in front of people. It's something that is set up so that you can give a good message. It takes practice. Saying I'm a Christian takes practice. It's not easy. You have to stay persistent. You have to continually move forward, don't you, in search of your true prize, your goal. You have to know that the labor that you choose to do here is not in vain. When you're working for the Lord, you need to continue to work for the Lord. You need to do that with a positive belief that you're doing the right thing. You have to have your eyes on Christ. You have to have your eyes on heaven so that you can see that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that all visions aren't good. Okay? You may have a vision. And these things change, I think, as you go along in life. I don't think you start out with the same view of life that you end with. At least, I hope not. Now, we always say to view heaven as a child. Well, that I hope stays. Because it's a very innocent view. And it's a great place. And that view has to be in front of you. But we change the way we address things. I think things get easier on this side of it as you get older. I know as an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, I wouldn't have been in front of you. I wouldn't have been. I wasn't. You know, it wasn't something that happened. I was doing other things when I was 18 and 19 that were, to me, were just way more important than where I am today, which were wrong. They weren't more important. And I think I'd be farther along had I been here then, but I wasn't. Through good people, they keep you coming. The vision for the people that were behind me were that I would one day be in church, that I would one day be looking forward to going to church, and that one day be able to finally find heaven. That were the people behind me and my parents. That was God letting me find my way to Danielle, who had things put in her by her parents. That made it a portion where I felt I needed to be here, not only just to be with my wife and my girlfriend, then my girlfriend, but to be here for my kids. Not all visions are good. Some of these short-sighted visions, selfish visions, you know, that cause issues. You know, a short-sighted vision would be something so small and insignificant that it doesn't matter. You don't like the way I sing? I'm sorry. It's bad, all right? It's bad. I know that. That's why I sing in the car, and I sing here, and I usually try to face the wall so I'm not putting anybody out that's in front of me, all right? Look and you'll see, those of you that have led songs, I'm looking out that window because I don't want to blast the people in front of me. It's bad. Right? I accept that it's bad. I have no vision to be a lead singer of anything. But if that is a problem, that you don't like my singing, here, move. That's all I can tell you is to move. Okay? Switch seats. It's okay. Because you're not stuck in my bench, and poor Lowy's been suffering for years. Switch benches. Okay, he just chooses to deal with it. Alright? Switch benches. It's okay. I'm not offended, and that's alright. Okay, it's not great. Don't let a short-sighted vision stop you from being a Christian. Okay, if it's that short-sighted that it's causing you issue, then you need to review it. And you need to look through and say, man, is this just me? Is what I see just causing the trouble? Should I maybe look beyond it? And if that is the case, then reset it. Okay, just because you're looking at the floor doesn't mean you can't look up at the ceiling. It just means right now you're looking down and you need to lift your head. Positive. Visions of despair, seeing only the negative. You know, there used to be a Saturday Night Live skit called Debbie Downer. Always made me laugh. No matter what, she'd swing it to the negative. That's a great hat. Yeah, but you know, hats cause male pattern baldness. Okay? No. It's all right. Be positive. We want you to address things with a smile. If you can't address it with a smile, find somebody to help you. Because not all things have to be happy in life. Sometimes we deal with grief and loss. And those are real feelings. But that shouldn't stop your vision from coming true. A worthy vision is a view that has value to Christ. That's a worthy vision. Saving souls. Being someone that would be in front to help people stay, to let them feel Christ's hand on them. To have steps to accomplish that vision. Is that such a big deal? To make a plan. You know, we don't know what's going to happen when we leave. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes. We don't. But to still have steps where you want to go and accept that you don't have the straight knowledge of what's going to happen next isn't wrong. It's wrong not to see your way to heaven. It's wrong not to walk down that straight path, to set the things up. You have to be bold and persevere enough to stay the course. Hard enough thing in the world is to stay on a steady path, to stay on a straight movement to where you want to be. You have to have faith in the Lord and stand in His Word. Okay, faith in the Lord is the big one. To have enough faith to know that God's vision for you and that your vision takes place. Watch and stand fast in faith. Be brave and be strong. Let all that you do be done with Christ's love. Okay, I have a vision of heaven. And it's my vision of heaven. It's only my vision of heaven. It's one that I can't describe. You know, when I see heaven in my mind's eye, I see heaven in my mind's eye the way I see it. The way that I want to see it. You all have a picture of heaven. You know, where that includes people that have gone before you. Where that includes this place that is just endless sunshine and sand and ocean views. I don't know. I don't know what your vision is. But you know, I know that y'all should have one. Because if you can't see heaven and you can't see the prize that we're given from being here and from being able to be in God's love, then I worry about you. Because you need that vision. There needs to be something at the end. We always say you go to the great reward. You know, that is a reward for all the work that's done here. It's a reward we don't deserve. But you have to have that vision. Your personal vision. If you don't have one today, please think in your mind, think to yourself about what you think heaven's going to be. I can tell you it won't be the same if I can't take my family and kids down the path with me to show it to them. You know, I don't envision right now that my family will go before me. I truly think it's going to be me first. And I've thought that through. You know, it's not that I don't have selfish things here on earth I want to be part of. But I see heaven. And I know that if I get there, I want to see the rest of them there. And while we have nothing that tells us we'll have loss for those loved ones that don't make it, that we don't have a true vision of those that are there because we're in a separate body, that will always be a part of my vision, is seeing my grandparents and those that I miss. If you set your vision on Christ, see the grand prize of spending eternity with Him. See that greatness of heaven surrounding you every minute, forever, without end. That's the true prize. If there is ever a vision that you have that will help you to keep you leading the way, that should be it. At the end of each service, we offer the gospel invitation. And in that gospel invitation, we invite you to become part of Christ's family or to bring forward anything that the church can do to help you that maybe isn't going right for you. But we ask you to come forward as we sing and, or stand and sing the last hymn.